Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Tonight we're looking at Matthew's account of two healings that were Jesus, where Jesus released healing due to a response in faith. And so if you've got your Bibles with you, won't you turn with me to Matthew 9, verse 18, and we're going to read through all the way to verse 26. Verse 18, and while he was saying these things to them, which were the discussions regarding fasting that John shared on last week, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him. If you've got a highlighter or you're underlining, highlight those words for me, knelt before him. Or if you've got your iPad, just take a moment just to quickly highlight that for me, knelt before him. In Mark and Luke's account, what we learn there is that this ruler that we hear of here in Matthew is that it's Jairus, which is a leader of a Galilee synagogue, just to put some context to that. I'm not going to jump to Mark and Luke, but that's who the leader is. And then he goes on to say here, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. Again, if you've got a highlighter, do me a favor. Highlight, she will live. Do that for me if you can. Highlight it, she will live. Verse 19, and Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. 21, for she said to herself, if, highlight if, just those two little letters together, thanks Rich, two letters together, if, highlight that in your Bible, if only I touch his garment, I will be made well. Verse 22, Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly, highlight instantly for me, instantly the woman was made well. Verse 23, and when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd that was making a commotion, you know what I was thinking on the way here is how often in life and in the world there's a lot of noise around us, amen? And we've got to really learn how to cut out some of the noise that's around us that is preventing us from pursuing Christ's power. I truly believe that. It's just where we see what the world puts around us as commotion, an entertainment factor, I want you to look here rather than the power of Christ. The world will allow us to see things in the natural before it will allow us to see things in the supernatural. And so we carry on there at verse 24. He said, go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping. And they laughed at him. How's that? And they laughed at Jesus. Friends, when we step out and we exercise and walk in the power of Christ, we're going to have to learn how to be persecuted. We're going to have to be willing to be mocked. We're going to have to be expected to be laughed at when we step out in faith in his power. Verse 25, but when the crowd had been put aside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Amen. What a great story of seeing and pursuing Christ's power. I love that. I mean, earlier on in this year, John touched so beautifully in the understanding of the father's heart, Jairus, in Mark's account of the healing of his daughter, if you remember that from Father's Day. So for the sake of not repeating, I'm not going to focus too heavily on the father and his daughter's healing, but what I want to do is just look at some glaringly obvious comparisons between the one family, if you want to call it that, the father and his daughter, and then look at the woman with the issue of blood. So the first thing that, I mean, stands out, just numbers. I'm not a numbers guy, but just kind of looking into this. In fact, I cannot count. So if anybody asks me to do a quick sum, do not trust me on what I give you as an answer. My wife runs our budget. I oversee the budget. I guess that's the best way of saying it. So numbers-wise, is we have this 12-year-old daughter raised from the dead, and then we have this woman who has 12 years of crippling illness that was wiped away from her. immediately. One was a private miracle. Jesus asked everyone to leave the father's house. And the other was a completely public miracle, where the woman revealed herself in public and Jesus healed her in public, which was just for me quite interesting, those two contrasts. Jairus was a religious leader, and the woman with an issue of the blood, with the issue of blood, was a complete outcast because of her condition. The kingdom's manifesto, I believe, what we see here is always inclusive. Like Brad was sharing this morning about the woman at the well, she was also an outcast. Yes, Jesus is obviously willing to speak to everybody, is what's important here. And Jairus, known by many, woman known by nobody. She was a completely unknown. I mean, she came from the outskirts of the city, and I mean, no one even recognized her. You know, you've got Jairus, who's like, I know that man. He's a leader. He's well-respected in the synagogues, etc., etc. Here's what I love is, how's this? Jairus, as a religious leader, was humbled by the power of Christ, and the woman was exalted by the power of Christ. How beautiful is that comparison between the two situations? When we humble ourselves, Christ exalts us. We know the scripture all too well. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Amen? Jesus revealed power knowingly in the situation of Jairus and his... I can't say Jairus, guys. Jairus. Is that right? Jairus. Somebody help me with a different way of learning how to say it. Jairus. Is that right? Sounds so funny. Jairus. Okay. So, Jesus... Jesus revealed the power to Jairus, okay, knowingly. It was a planned situation. It was something that they always knew was going to happen. With the woman, with the issue of blood, it was an unplanned situation. So we've got these two contrasts of Jesus saying, hey, it's okay, I can do planned and I can do unplanned. What does that say to us? Is that when we are pursuing the Christ of power, we need to learn this. We need to learn how to be structured. We need to learn how to be planned. We need to learn how to be disciplined. But let there be an opportunity for us to break out of that for 2 seconds and be unplanned. Let's be completely flexible. Completely flexible. If Christ's power is operating in a certain moment, in a certain situation, in our lives and through our lives, allow it to break through. Let's not restrain ourselves because it's because of what was planned for that moment. Jairus interprets and upholds the old law, and the woman with the issue of the blood was subject to the old law. I don't have too much time to unpack that, but there's this beautiful contrast between him saying, I'm going to uphold the old law here by following what people have told me to do in approaching Christ. This lady, the issue with the blood, the woman with the issue of the blood, she goes completely against that. She's like, I have no other choice. So I'm going to break everything of the old law, and I'm actually going to step into exactly what God's called me for. Why? Because I've been crying out to God. So she separates the situation between old and new. It's an amazing thing here. Jairus had to see and believe, and the woman's belief was by faith. It's a beautiful thing here. Jairus and his family, they had one another. We don't know much about the mother, but you'd imagine that if there was a father, there was perhaps a mother and the daughter. So they had a family. This dear woman, there's no mention of this lady having no family around her. And what does that say? We had it come through this morning again. Christ stepped out and pull down heaven's power for the one. For the one and lonely, the outcast. Isn't that beautiful? To Jesus, this woman was not lost in the crowd. In her hour of need, in her minute of need, he came right to her. And in that moment, she is what mattered to Christ. Jesus is like that for every single one of us in every single moment. We don't have to worry whether it's okay to call on his power or okay to call on him in a certain situation. What we do need to know is that he's there for the one, he's there for the multitudes, and he's going to show up. He's never going to say, it's not important enough for me to dial down into your situation tonight. Dial down into your lonely hour when you need me the most. No, Christ says, I will be there for one. I will pull down heaven's greatest power to heal you in your one moment just for you. Don't you love the word, the creativity behind it? Just is the contrast in reading the scripture. It's so beautiful that you're able to see two completely juxtaposed moments. And there's so much to go into, but what I do want to do, I'm just going to jump here a little bit, is jump past my comparison here. Let's look at the woman, if we can. Let's just focus on the woman and the issue of her blood this evening. This broken woman who had been completely ostracized by the laws that we see in Leviticus, okay, would say that just like that of a woman going through during her menstrual time of the month, this continual bleeding of this lady would deem her as completely ceremonially unclean. That's the situation, right? So she is seen now, let's look at her like this. She's seen now as an unclean woman, okay? She's almost supposed to be what the Leviticus Old Testament law says, is that she must be outcast into a settlement. How's this? You're going to love this. She must now go sleep in a tent, because she's that unclean. She must be separated from her people. She must be separated from those that love her. And she must go and sleep in a tent. How's that? An unclean person cannot touch another person, because that person would then be considered as completely unclean. And so whenever we see someone who would approach an unclean person, they would have to speak in a loud voice and say, "I'm unclean! Back off! Keep your 1.2 meters, 2 meters, whatever it was." It's announcing your illness before the public so that, you know, they don't come closer to you. This is a devastating situation when we think about it. If we imagine this woman, and you know that the original manuscripts do not know her name? She's completely unknown. She's completely unnamed. And so we start to see this picture of this woman's continual blood issue. She would have had to have lost her whole family through the process. I mean, we know, okay, let's be honest. We know that when somebody's going through a certain situation, you know, maybe it perhaps flu, maybe it's perhaps, let's go a bit deeper, okay, and I'm not being in any way sarcastic here. Perhaps it's cancer, okay? There's a sickness. There's a reality to the potential of somebody dying. We can be honest with each other here tonight that you might, okay, check in the first 3 months, intensely so. Maybe 6 months, okay? Maybe at a stretch 8 months, I don't know. Unless I'm unique, I'm just putting my heart out there. Your checkups with the person that has fallen ill starts to slow down, okay? Just naturally, because life is busy, we've got our own thing to carry on. And so you can imagine, so is the case with this woman who is what they have deemed terminally unclean. You will not become clean again, the physician said to her. You have no hope. You have no hope of becoming clean again. And so the family, I would imagine, have completely by this stage distanced themselves from her. Completely. Because of her continual flow of blood, she would have been told that everything she touches was unclean. Wherever she sits must be cleaned again. So if she walks into a certain area in the marketplace and she sits down, she has to now, they go after her and they wipe it down. I mean, guys, are you seeing this picture of what they treated her like? For 12 years, she would have been a complete outcast. Complete outcast. 12 years is a long time, guys. A seriously long time. I don't know about you, but can you imagine that hope in her heart of being healed but one day? Can you imagine her sitting and praying to God late at night and saying, "God, please heal me. This is too much." Can you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that sense in her heart of just, I mean, hope deferred makes the heart sick. I think it was way beyond that point. It must have weighed her down to a point that literally she couldn't do anything else. She couldn't. And I don't know about you, and I don't know about what each of us are holding on to, and I don't know how long we've been holding on to it for. But I can imagine that those things that we have been holding on to, like this woman, I can tell you now, if it's as serious as this scenario that God's showing us here and what Jesus is showing us here, is that it isolates us. It separates us. It makes us believe, okay, that we're not worthy to be closer to others, be closer to God, to deserve. It's all those things that Jesus is showing us here, is that we have things in our lives that we're holding on to, okay? 12 years is a very long time to hold on to things. And those things are holding us back. They're isolating us. I love what Katie was saying this morning about that dark room. What dark rooms are we locking ourselves into that are isolating us? What are those in our hearts? What are those dark rooms in our hearts that we completely isolating ourselves from community? Have we held on to that thing and not pursued the power of Christ enough? Have we replaced the pursuit of Christ in our lives with the thing that we are holding on to personally? We're holding on to despair, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know what each of our situations are. I know what mine are. And I know what God showed me this week, but we can identify, guys, to a certain degree here of what the woman could be holding on to and how she was holding on to this for 12 years. You can imagine the state of her heart. You can imagine how emotional she was about everything that was happening around her. I don't know. For us, it may be things of our heart. We may not be dealing with terminal sickness. We may be. We may have friends, family, loved ones that are dealing with that. Maybe we're holding on to lost dreams. I don't know. It's a long time to be holding on to something, though, in replacement of the pursuit of Christ and his power. I reckon we hold on to something for so long because we think we can fix it ourselves. That's what I've seen in my life. My own personal life is, I'm going to hold on to this thing because I truly believe I can fix it myself. And in Luke's account, we learn that the woman had spent it all. She had literally spent her last cent on a physician that said he could help her and couldn't help her. Last cent. And no one could help her. What are we holding on to? What are those things that we're so desperately trying to fix ourselves, that we pour in our money into, that we pour in our time into, that we pour in our thought life into? What are those things instead of running to Jesus and the power that he has to break into that situation? What are those things? Ask ourselves. Are there areas in our lives that we are literally hemorrhaging? Hemorrhaging, bleeding out. It's like you look in your heart and you say, Lord, what is that area in my life that I'm bleeding from? Because that's really the picture here, is that there was a devastating scenario with this woman with the issue of blood. But guys, if we had to break this down, the misconception here is that the woman's illness, okay, is not from a continual menstrual issue, okay? In fact, not the case at all. There was sickness that attacked her body at a certain time in her life, okay? And for reasons she couldn't understand, she developed sores that wouldn't heal. And the sores became infected, and so it spread over her whole body. And these sores slowly started to, excuse the graphicness, but started to ooze blood everywhere. And that's what affected her, actually, in so many different areas in her body. First was the physical toll that it took on her body. Then the blood, okay? I mean, you guys, I don't have to paint this picture too much more, but the blood loss from her body was never enough to kill her, so that wasn't really the concern either, but it weakened her. The human body is not made, guys, to lose blood so constantly. And so over time, she grew weaker and weaker. I'm asking the question again. Are there areas in our lives, are there sores in our lives that we are hemorrhaging from? We're hemorrhaging and bleeding out the life and the power of Jesus Christ in our life. Wow. Is it habitual sin? Guess what? Power of Christ can break that. Are we bleeding out from our heart? We're carrying guilt that's not ours to carry. What is it? It's bleeding the power of Christ in our lives. Even worrying. Even though God says, do not worry. I care more about, you know, I care about what the birds eat at night. But no, we worry and we try and figure it out all on our own. I'll make this work. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to use those three lifelines that God's given me. That life gives us. I'm going to phone that friend. I'm going to phone that buddy. What are we bleeding from? Every time we look and we think to ourselves, okay, I know I'm going to do this. I know I'm going to do this. It's a bleeding out of actually the power of Christ working in that moment and through our lives. What is making us unclean? Where's the infected area that we're not allowing the life and power of God to flow in our lives? What bottle of pills? What bottle of drink? What physician? What expert? What relationship strategist? What, I don't know. What are we holding on to? Instead of holding on and grabbing hold of the power of Jesus Christ that he's demonstrated to us. This woman had come to her end, I can guarantee you that. She had hit rock bottom. Nothing more to give, nothing more to lose. But actually the best place for us sometimes is to hit that rock bottom. Because why? We've got no more options that we actually, for ourselves in that moment, turn to the power of God in that moment. Sometimes that is the best place, rock bottom. When we can turn to no other consultant, when nobody else can advise us out of a situation, please don't hear too deeply into my heart here that there's not wisdom. There's great wisdom in the counsel of many. But turning to God, turning to Jesus, looking to him and saying, Lord, break in here. Lord, release your power. Lord, I'm pursuing you. Please break into the situation of my finances. Please break into the situation of my relationships. Please, Lord, let your power come first. That's my first lifeline, is the power of Christ. There's something about reaching a breaking point, friends, that causes us to earnestly seek the power of Christ. There's something about that. We get ourselves so confused that all different doors are closing in our lives, and all the while blaming, unless I'm unique, Frank here, blaming God. Gee, Lord, questioning God. Why did you close that door, Lord? When actually, yes, he is closing the door. Why? Because he needs you to stop looking at what's behind the next door and start pursuing the power that he's given us in our lives, in our very moments. It's not pick the best door, guys, in our lives. Stop looking for the next option. Stop looking for that moment that somebody else is going to answer that question for us. No, we pursue him. We pursue his power. He is the door. And he is standing there, as Katie said this morning, and knocking. All we've got to do is open the door. King David was a broken man, and he prayed. Even he prayed, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. There are some things in our lives that need to be broken, friends. There's some things in our lives that the power of Christ actually needs to break. And it's from this desperate place that she had come seeking the Lord in total despair, yet filled with complete hope. So there's hope. There's something here to look at. And she touches the fringe of his garment, verse 21. For she said to herself, if only I touch his garment, I will be made well. From a complete place of brokenness and despair, she recognizes the power of Christ. She realizes that she can be made whole again. And with confidence, she says, I will be made whole. Direct translation from the original manuscript. Direct translation. All confidence. So much faith that she says, I just have to touch the hem and I know I'm going to be healed. I just have to touch that. And the Greek word for hem, in this case, is graspedon, which actually translates to tassel, right? This is what's so cool about this, is doing a little bit of backtracking into the book of Malachi, has this prophetic picture of the power of Christ being released through this one tassel. In Malachi verse 4, verse 2, says, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Wow. The word wings is referenced to a clothing item hanging on the end of his cloak. How's that? That is the wing. That's the healing in his wings. Can you see now Christ walking through the dirty streets of Jerusalem with this cloak and his healing wings? And she goes, I'm going to grab that thing. Does that mean I'm going to stop? I'm confused from the morning. We have this mic drop moment joke. When we're really messing up, you drop the mic, literally. So the wings Jesus was wearing on his prayer shawl, right, are known as a tzitzit. Okay, tzitzit, which is a tassel on the four corners of your prayer cloak. I mean, guys, this is the faith of this woman. I don't need to grab the cloak. I don't need to grab the gown. I don't need to grab the whole shul. I mean, you almost think she's going to kind of mob him. But no, she says, I just grabbed that tassel. How beautiful is this? This tassel represents 613 commandments. 613 commandments intertwined into one strand. White and blue strands intertwined together, representing 613 of the commandments. In other words, how's this? She believed not just on the words of God, but the Word himself in flesh, Jesus, manifest there in front of her, incarnational. I'm going to touch that. I've heard the commandments of God. I've heard about God's power. I've heard that he can heal leper. I've heard it. And I'm going to see it, and I'm going to touch it, and I will be made whole. It's amazing how the old law had kept her in isolation. Yet she had enough boldness without resentment, okay, because the Old Testament had actually held her in isolation, to actually reach out and grab onto a significantly traditional item and trust that from just her touching that one little tassel and for her faith, honestly, guys, in that moment to say, I know I've been isolated because of the old. I'm still going to grab onto something that's recognized by the old, but with all faith, I'm going to take that wing and I'm going to be healed in the name of Jesus. How incredible. And she was healed. Even though the laws had imprisoned her, she had the faith that just that hem of the garment would stop her hemorrhaging in her life. She risked it. She took a risk. And she believed in Christ's power. She believed that the Messiah she had heard of had the power to end every part of her suffering. She believed it so much so that she wouldn't have to even ask him. No engagement. Contrast to Jairus. I'm going to speak to you because I'm the synagogue leader. I'm not putting him down, but that's how I saw it. It's like, oh, come on over to the planned trip to my home and you will heal my daughter. It's going to be part of what you do. I've heard. Come on, do it, Jesus. She's like, I don't even have to do that. Because of his power, I've seen it, I have faith for it, and I'm going to go for it. He didn't even have to touch her. He didn't even have to touch her, actually. Yeah. Jairus was so descriptive. Sorry, I just got that. Maybe old to you, but I just got that. We're all on a journey, yeah? Sorry. She believed that all she needed to do was touch that hem. It's beautiful. How much for time? Cool. She believed in his power. We read earlier that the crowds were following Jesus, so all the different synagogue leaders. She pushed through, guys. She risked it. If any of those leaders had seen her, okay, and recognized her as unclean, she probably would have been imprisoned. That's the risk. So it was literally do or die. Do you know what I mean? I think I might die. Cool. Okay, well, that's a high risk. I don't know how many times, putting it out there, I'm gonna come back to that. Thank you, Lord. If we're wanting to see the manifest power of Christ working in and through our lives, we're going to have to risk it, guys. We're going to have to risk it. Guys, we have to have the faith that Jesus will grab us in those moments when we are letting go of those things that we've been holding on for 12 years. Guys, the faith that Jesus will grab us, okay, and heal us and set us free, that's the key. We've got to believe it. We've got to have the faith. She threw off every hindrance. She pushed through. She pursued regardless of the consequence. She pushed through. She could not do anything else in that moment other than say, I'm going after that tassel and boy, I'm going to grab it. And she did. The woman didn't allow her illness, the outward effects of it, the smell of it, okay, to be a hindrance in the pursuit of Christ's power in her life. How's that? She wasn't afraid anymore. She had nothing more to lose. Nothing more to lose. The woman wasn't afraid of people recognizing her sickness, her disease. She was like, I'm going up there. I'm going to push. I'm going to touch. I'm probably going to bump some people. I don't actually care, but I'm going for it. She wasn't afraid of shame anymore. And we so often, I honestly believe this, I was just working through some things in my heart this week and preparing this message, is we're so often worried about the smell of sin, the smell of the struggle in our lives, the stench of shame in our lives, that we prohibit ourselves from reaching out for Christ's power. How's that? We really do, guys. I mean, we, like Martha, hey? I'm not going to go into it now, but she was so worried about the body smelling. Guys, if we're worried about the stench of sin in our lives, if we're worried more about that than we are about the resurrection power of Christ working in and through our lives, so worried about it. In fact, do we spend time covering up the stench of sin in our lives, the smell of guilt in our lives, the smell of hurt in our lives, instead of what? Pursuing Christ's power in it. If we just had to spend half the amount of time of the covering up and replace it with what? The pursuit of Christ's power. Just half the amount of time. I'm telling you now, Christ is going to break through in those situations of ours. Look at the person next to you. Antonio, I'm sorry, my friend. You have to look at somebody. I'm sorry. Look at the person next to Antonia's like this. Oh. We love you so much, Antonia. Look at the person next to you and ask this question. When last did you pursue Christ's power, regardless of the consequence of shame or no result? I'll repeat the question. I want you to look into somebody's eyes next to you, wherever you are. When last did you pursue Christ's power, regardless of the consequence of shame or result? When last? Ask. Ask the question. When last did you pursue Christ's power, regardless of the consequence? Guys, regardless of the consequence, when last did we do it? I was challenged this week when I said to myself, honestly, introspectively, I couldn't remember when. You guys want to grab a coffee? Having a great time? It's a challenging question. It's hectic. She was so unclean on the outward, but her heart was pure. An honest, contrite heart, saying to herself, I'm going for this. That's what he's asking from us, guys. Jesus tells us in Mark, when he tells the Pharisees that it's what comes from within the heart that defiles us. That's what's key. She had a contrite heart. She put it before before God and said, God, I need to be healed. I trust in you. I trust in your son. I've heard of the Messiah. I'm going after him. I'm going to seek his presence in my region, and I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to shake it off in pursuit of that power in my life. Contrite heart. What comes from our hearts is what's key. She had a pursuant heart for Christ's power. When last did we say to ourselves, heart, be pursuant of Christ's power in this situation. Heart, be pursuant of Christ's power in my marriage. Disciplined. It's the enabling of the power of Christ by his Spirit in and through our lives. Like Brad put it a couple of weeks ago, the Spirit is like an antidote to kill the corruption of our flesh. We've all got it. Guys, we would be fools to try and hide it from one another. The confession of sin to a brother and sister, freedom, truth, the life of God, the power of Christ in that moment. Kill the flesh. How? By his Spirit. We lean on his Spirit. Lean not on our own strength, not on our might, not by our power, but by his Spirit. That's how it happens. Verse 22, Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, take heart, daughter. How beautiful is that? One was somebody else's daughter. And Jesus turns and says, you're my daughter. That's what you are to me. You're my daughter in this moment. You're my daughter. And I'm going to call you that, and you can take heart. And take heart means take courage. It means I love you so much. It's not profound. It's not a profound statement, guys. It's not airy-fairy, esoterical, highly put. It's take heart, my daughter. That's our Jesus. I wonder what gave her such courage. She must have heard of Christ's healing power. How did she hear about it? Guys, perhaps some of the people in the outskirts of the town that had come back from the city were talking about it. I don't know. The word says that the miracles that we've been working through here were literally going into every single region. Wow. The news of it. Yeah. The power, friends, and the importance of a testimony. The power of that testimony in our lives. Right. When Jesus sets us free, tell somebody about it. Come on. We have to. Why? Why? Because it builds up courage in others and it sets in motion a revival. Yes. Come on, man. That's what happens. We've pursued Christ. Christ comes through. Tell somebody about it. Amen? She heard it. Yeah. Come on, man. It stirs others to have that same courage in his power. The testimony of Christ's power at work in and through our lives gives others the courage to walk away from their sinful ways, to walk away from their scabs, to walk away from what's hemorrhaging them, all of that long-term sickness in their lives, and say, Christ, I will pursue you. It gives them that courage because we have been encouraged. Take heart, my daughter. It raises faith and belief that if just the touch, if they pursue him, there's immediate freedom. She knew it. She saw that immediate freedom straight away. The woman refused to allow the devil to use her illness to rob her life any longer. She refused. She actually stood her ground, she faced it head on, and she exposed it, she called it what it is, and she said, right, no longer, I'm going to pursue Christ's power in this moment. For 12 years I've done this, I'm done. Ian Dornan boxes, and there was this recent boxing, I don't know, club thing moment, and there's this, yeah, fight, I don't want to say fight. Mm-hmm. And there was this a term called working the cut, when your opponent sees that you cut. And sees you bleeding, he'll work the cut in his blows towards you. And as he goes for the cut, especially if it's in the brow area and the eye area, what happens? You start to bleed. That's what he wants. He wants to take you out. He wants to blind you. Because if he takes your eyes out, if he takes your sight out, he takes your vision out. If he takes your vision out, he takes your heart out of it. Wow. And what happened here was the woman said, I'm no longer going to allow the bleeding to take away my heart for what Jesus has in my life and what he wants to do in, through my life. She faced her sickness face on. Call it what it is. Call a spade a spade. I'm broke. Cool. You've called it what it is. What do you want to do about that now? I want the power of Christ to break in. Fantastic. I'm going to stand on that. And I'm going to call on friends. I'm going to call on counsel. And we're going to work towards that. We're going to pray into that. We're going to build you up. We're going to encourage you. We're going to strengthen. Why? Because you called it what it is. And we've stopped the devil from using a cut in our eye that blood is now pouring and gushing down our face. And we say, no longer. I'm going to go for it. She saw the power of Christ over her crisis. She saw the power of Christ over her crisis. She knew there was more to life than what she had experienced for 12 years. She knew it. She saw the power of Christ over her circumstances. How often do we allow the circumstances in our life to say, that's how I'm going to respond? Why? It's a circumstance. It doesn't make sense to me. All the time that Jesus spent on earth here, he said, do not look at the natural, do not look at the circumstance, look at me, keep your eyes fixed on me. She had faith in her greater calling. The devil cannot take out our calling, guys, but he'll try his utmost to take out our confidence. He cannot remove our calling, but he will try and take out our confidence in it. And the devil had stolen her confidence, let me tell you that. Her illness had robbed her of her confidence for 12 years. She had had enough. We cannot be Christians without a complete confidence and faith in the complete power of Christ. We cannot be. And instantly she was made whole. Mark's account tells us that Jesus felt immediately that the power had left him. Why? His disciples are like Jesus, seriously, there's a couple of people, and you're like, who touched me? You know, it's like, I mean, there's many people, imagine. I mean, they're walking through, there's leaders, there's community members, like, you know, Jesus is like, who touched me? Who grabbed my what's it called? Tassel. Who grabbed my tassel? You know, you can imagine this moment. Leaders touching him. Ushering him to the various homes that had been prearranged, all touching him with a touch of promotion, promoting the Christ's power. But when the woman's touch came, it felt slightly different. Why? Because the touch was pursuant of the power. It wasn't promoting of the power, it was pursuant of the power. So often in our lives, we can promote Christ's power, but not pursue the power of Christ. Amen? The faith within the woman's touch was so high that Jesus literally felt the healing power leave him. And before it even left him, I guess, she was healed. It was the faith that made her well. Do we believe, guys? I'm sorry I'm going over time here, Brad. Do we believe that power of Christ? Do we believe that the power of Christ will make us instantly well? Instantly well. Do we believe that the power of Christ's hem alone, tassel alone, will stop every hemorrhage in our lives, every hemorrhage, not some, not partial, every bleeding area in our lives. And those are the places that people have actually hurt. Where do we hurt the most? Where we bleed. That's where it hurts. Places that we've been trying to fix ourselves. I am a certain way in my life because of X, Y, and Z. That's what we say to ourselves. That's what we say. My father used to do this to me in my life. My father wasn't there for me in my life. So that's why I am the way that I am. And I bleed out that power of Christ in that area of my life. Things that we've been holding on to things that we think that our challenge, our struggle. Jesus is saying, in pursuing my power, ask yourself this question, friends, tonight. Together, let's ask ourselves this question. We have a choice. Are we going to hemorrhage or hem? Hemorrhage or hem? That's the choice that we have tonight. Because if we allow ourselves to hemorrhage any longer, we will not make it. We will not make it. We will die. We might get past 12 years, but we will die. How much longer are we going to pretend the power of God doesn't exist in our lives? How much longer? How much longer? Bleed to death or grab onto him? Hemorrhage or hem? We will continue to cover up, to put cloth on, to put plasters on, in bleeding, infested areas of our heart and our lives, because we refuse to pursue Christ's power in that area. We're going to grab onto, we're going to hold onto that tassel, the promises, the miracles, the power. We're going to grab onto that. Why? For instant wholeness. Instant wholeness. Some things are progressive. I understand that. I know that we need to work through some things. But instantly made whole. Rejection? No longer rejected. Addicted? No longer addicted. Abused? No longer abused. Instantly made whole again. He redeems us instantly. He makes us whole instantly. He's called us, what? To disciple others, to show them how to let go and allow God to step in and his power to break through. Jesus has already provided the power to us, guys. Every bit of power that we need to work in and through for him to work in and through our lives, he's already given us. If you're a born-again believer, which I recognize everyone's faces here this evening, we know this, right? That he has already provided every aspect of power that is needed. Okay? We are complete in him. There's not one aspect of us that is incomplete of Jesus and the power that he gives us. Jesus is already inside you and I. Romans 8, verse 9 to 1, Katie read this morning. The life-giving power of God is in us already, done and settled. We don't have to press through a crowd and fortunately, like this woman, we've got to pursue him. We've got to push through in that regard. But if we're born again here tonight, we already have Christ's power. But we've got to pursue it. We don't have to cry out like Jairus and say, okay, Jesus, I've got your attention now. No, he's showing us this. The woman there with the issue of blood, she interrupted my planned events for the day. She's getting my attention before I come to your house. We've already got his attention, friends. This woman did it, why? Because she believed. Jesus had not yet died, okay? How about this? Jesus had not yet died and had provided the atonement for sin, which causes disease, but she still believed. She still believed, why? Because she had heard of him. She believed in him. Jesus has already accomplished, friends, everything that we need, all healing. All healing, healing of the heart, healing of the body, healing of the mind. Yeah. Every aspect of deliverance, that power stepped in. We are a new creation. His spirit is in us. We've got to pursue him. Beautiful. We're not waiting on God to move into the New Testament. We're not waiting, guys. He's there already. Christ. We look back at that cross where Jesus said, it is finished. It's done. And now we press forward with all certainty and his power and his grace and his mercy within us as we pursue his power and we seek to know him. To know him. Like Paul says to the Philippians, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Pursue, 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 pursue Christ's power. Pursue it. Amen.